Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, Instructions for Civilized Human Beings, Text 16 through 18. 18 is on the board. So I'll read 16 and 17 myself, and we'll chant 18 together. Text 16. Santushtasya nirihasya swatramamaya yat sukham kutastat kama lobena davatarte hayan tishaha. Translation. One who is content and satisfied and who links his activities with the Supreme Personality of Godhead residing in everyone's heart enjoys transcendental happiness without endeavoring for his livelihood. Where is such happiness for a materialistic man who is impelled by lust and greed and who therefore wanders in all directions with a desire to accumulate wealth? Text 17. Sada santushta manasa sarva shiva maya dishaha Sharkara kantaka dibyo yato panat pada shivam. Translation. For a person who has suitable shoes on his feet, there is no danger even when he walks on pebbles and thorns. For him, everything is auspicious. Similarly, for one who is always satisfied, there is no distress. Indeed, he feels happiness everywhere. So text 18. Santushta kena va raja na vartetapi varina alpastya Jaivya, Karpanya, Griha, Palayate, Jana, Santushta Kena Varajan, Navarte Tapi Varana, Apastya Jaiva Karpanya, Kriya palayate janaha santushta kena varajan navarte tapi varina apastya jaiva karpanya kriya palayate janaha Santushta kena varajan navarte tapi varina alpastya jaivya karpanya kriha palayate janaha. Santushta kena varaja arte papi varina palayate jana varaja. Santushta kena varajan Santushta Kena Varaja Teta Tivarana Antasadya Yoga Sangha Navaya Teta Vaishnavis. Santushta Kena Varaja Tavarte tapi varana Vashyadaiva karpanya Apalayate jana Sakena varaja Vrita pi varana Vrita karpanya Alayate jana Santushta kena varajam Ketapi varina Varapanya Santushtaha. A person who was always self-satisfied. Kena, why? Va, or? Rajan, O king. Na, not. Varteta, should live happily. Api, even. Varina, by drinking water. Alpashtya, due to the genitals. Jaivya, and the tongue. Karpanya, because of a wretched or miserly condition. Grihapalayate, he becomes exactly like a household dog. Janaha, such a person. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. My dear King, a self-satisfied person can be happy even with only drinking water. However, one who is driven by the senses, especially by the tongue and genitals, must accept the position of a household dog to satisfy his senses. Please repeat. My dear King, a self-satisfied person can be happy even with only drinking water. However, one who is driven by the senses, especially by the tongue and genitals, must accept the position of a household dog to satisfy his senses. Purport. According to the Shastras, a Brahmana, or a cultured person in Krishna consciousness, will not enter anyone's service to maintain body and soul together, and especially not for the satisfaction of the senses. A true Brahmana is always satisfied. Even if he has nothing to eat, he can drink a little water and be satisfied. This is only a matter of practice. Unfortunately, however, no one is educated in how to be satisfied in self-realization. As explained above, A devotee is always satisfied because he feels the presence of the super soul within his heart and thinks of him 24 hours a day. This is real satisfaction. A devotee is never driven by the dictations of the tongue and genitals, and thus he is never victimized by the laws of material nature. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So in all the verses today and the purport to the last verse, the term satisfaction comes up and it reminds me of a line from probably one of the most famous classic rock songs of all time by the Rolling Stones, "I Can't Get No." Right, but it's not really a sincere song in the sense that if you're not getting satisfaction, why keep doing it? Because the way the song goes says, "And I try and I try and I try, never give up trying, even though you're not getting any satisfaction." So the other day I was having a talk with one devotee and we were discussing why people come to Krishna consciousness in a serious way. I mean, really take it up and surrender. And we were wondering why some people do and why some people don't. And after considering different points of view, you know, from personal experience and Shastra, we concluded that as long as the person is thinking, you know, they can be satisfied somehow or other by material endeavor, success, apart from Krishna, then they won't totally surrender. And this is stated by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Bhogaishvarya prasaktanam taya pratichetasam vyavasayatmaka buddhir samadau navadhiyate. That, you know, the person who is attracted by bhoga and aishvarya, you know, by material sense gratification, material opulence, they will not develop the firm determination, the vyavasayatmaka buddhi, the firm intelligence, the firm determination to surrender and get all the advantages of surrender. So, there's another verse, you know, from the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Nivritta tarshaya upagiya manad bhavashadach shrota manobi ramat. So this nivritta tarshaya means without any more material desires or hope for material success, such people can take the actual medicine of devotional service and get cured from the disease of material life. And I mean, if, like I said, we were discussing this from the Shastric point of view and then also from the point of view of personal experience. I know from my own personal experience that if Krishna hadn't taken away any hope for happiness within the material world, I probably would not be here. Tasyaha managrinami harishyeta danam shanai. Krishna says, if I'm really merciful to somebody, I'll take away their material attachments and material shelters and material hopes and desires so that they can see there's no other way out than surrender. Sarva dharman pratyaja mamekam sharanam raja. Krishna says, don't surrender to anything else, just surrender to me. So I was attracted to Krishna consciousness, but I was thinking, it's nice, it's interesting. I like reading those books and chanting Hare Krishna sometime, but I've got things to do. So I remember once I was thinking, you know, when I was about 20 years old, 23, something like that, I was thinking, maybe I'll go to the Hare Krishna temple. But then I thought, no, I'm going to go down to Florida. And, you know, so I took my backpack, my guitar, my passport. And I started hitchhiking to Florida. And I was thinking, like, I was thinking of going to the temple, but I thought, no, I'll go to Florida. So I was hitchhiking at night through North Carolina. I was in a car, and the person let me out of the car. And then before I could grab my stuff, he put his foot on the gas and sped away with everything. The guitar, the backpack, the passport, the money. This is what Krishna has to do to some people to get them to surrender. So I'm there by the highway at night, you know, outside a little town in North Carolina. So I walked into the town, and this was in the early 1970s. So there was some kind of hippie welfare center or something, you know. So I knocked on the door. They said, okay, you can stay the night here. And then in the morning, they let me make a phone call. So I called the nearest temple. Yeah, somehow, you know, I got information, asked for ISKCON, Washington, D.C., because that was the nearest big temple. And, you know, so I got the number, you know, I called, and a devotee answered the phone. It was actually the wife of the temple president. Her name was Mriganetri. Temple president was Damodar Das. So I explained my situation. Said, you know, I was thinking I'd go to the temple, but I thought, you know, I got a Bhagavad Gita somehow. I read it. I liked it. I found out about Krishna consciousness, but I thought maybe I'll come to the temple. And then I thought, no, I'll go. And I'd read in the book, I explained to her, I had read in the book that Krishna says, if somebody is thinking about surrendering to me but is having a problem doing it because of material attachments, I'll take all those things away. So I said, Krishna did that last night. He took away everything I had. So she said, okay, put down the phone, go out to the highway, stick out your thumb, hitchhike to, she gave me the address of the temple in Washington, D.C., and said, don't stop until you get here. So at that point, I surrendered. Now, I don't want to pretend that I'm completely surrendered right now, but at least to the extent that I've put myself in a position where it's possible to achieve that. So, coming, it seems from Shastra that this is emphasized. One has to come to the point of dissatisfaction with material existence. One does have to come to that point somehow or other, it seems, where we truly and sincerely say, I can't get no satisfaction, and I'm not going to keep trying and trying and trying. I'm going to try something else. And, there's another example from Shastra, from the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam. There was the story of Pingala, who was a prostitute. And, she's given as an example of this becoming dissatisfied and surrendering. She was a prostitute, which means, she was selling herself to men, and in order to succeed in that business, you have to attract men. So one night, she was standing outside her place trying to attract different men, thinking, this guy looks like he's got some money. I think I could give him something so that he would give me his money. But he walked by, and then another one walked by, and then nothing she was doing was working. So she came to the point of utter frustration. It was past midnight. She hadn't attracted anybody. So she became totally frustrated. What am I doing? I am just really... She understood, I'm ignoring the real Lord of my heart, and I'm simply trying to attract all these pathetic, absolutely pathetic men. And what can they do? Even if I got a demigod, they're all temporary. They're all just temporary. Of course, you can take it from the other point of view. There's the story of Ajamil who got attracted to the prostitute. But this story of Pingala, she finally realized, what am I doing? Why am I surrendering, trying to surrender to all these foolish, pathetic, stupid... men? And she actually surrendered to Krishna at that point and felt satisfied. So that's another example from Shastra of a person coming to the point of complete frustration with material existence. So now another point is, when one becomes a devotee, Srila Prabhupada makes this point, especially when one is trying to become a brahmana or is technically a brahmana. just having the mantra doesn't mean you're a brahmana. You have to be developing the brahminical qualities. And one of them is this satisfaction, santushto, being satisfied, yadrichcha labha santushto, Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita. One should be satisfied with what comes easily. This is a qualification of a brahmana. It Yeah, there are, you know, some examples from, you know, the Srimad Bhagavatam. For example, there was the story of Vaman, you know, Krishna and his dwarf incarnation. He was a Brahmana in that incarnation. And he went to beg some land from King Bali, from Bali Maharaj, who was king of the demons, really. So Bali Maharaj, because of his history, was actually like a little pious. So when Vamana, the little Brahmin boy avatar of Krishna, approached him and asked him for 3 steps of land, Bali said, "Why are you just asking for 3 steps of land? I'm king of the whole world. I can give you much more than that." And Vaman said, if someone isn't satisfied, you know, with even a little, then he won't be satisfied even if you give him everything. Yeah, but so that's an example where Krishna is stressing this quality of being satisfied, not being over eager for material achievements or being dissatisfied with what Krishna has given one. There's another case where it involves the story of Rukmini. You know, she sent a Brahmin messenger to Krishna. And, you know, the message was, please kidnap me. But when the Brahmin came, the first thing Krishna said to him is, are you satisfied? Because this is the Brahminical qualification. And Krishna explained, if a Brahmin is not satisfied, his spiritual qualifications will diminish. Just like if you have a fire and you sprinkle water on it, it'll go down. On the other hand, Krishna said, if a Brahmin is satisfied with whatever comes easily to him and is not anxious, overly anxious about his income or support or whatever, then, and just follows his religious principles and spiritual duties, then those principles, Krishna says, will become like a wish-fulfilling cow, like a sarabi cow that supports one. So so becoming satisfied like that is very important according to these verses and the purport today and many other examples, you know, that are given throughout the shastras. So the danger is that if one isn't satisfied with some simple things, like it says here, a self-satisfied person can be happen even with only drinking water. So yesterday I was in the BBT, I was filling up my little water bottle with drinking water. Actually, I'm on a weight loss program for the past couple of years. One of the first things they tell you is just drink water. Anything else you drink, you know, juice is a lot of calories. It may seem healthy and everything, but lots of calories. Someone devotee was offering me different flavorings to put in the water. You know, little things that you can turn it into soda or something. But I refused. So if one is overly concerned about these things, then it becomes very difficult to focus on one's spiritual duties. And like this other verse was also interesting. For a person who has suitable shoes on his feet, there is no danger even when he walks on pebbles and thorns. So if the soles of your shoes, they have to be suitable shoes. Like if you're trying to find some good hiking shoes, you know, some people like to hike. You know, go out in the mountains, climb over the rocks and things. Well, you have to have suitable shoes. You know, if the shoes, the soles are too thin, then you'll feel the stones and the rocks and the thorns. So, but in this verse it says, for a person who has suitable shoes on his feet, there is no danger even when he walks on pebbles and thorns. For him, everything is auspicious. Similarly, for one who is always self-satisfied, there is no distress. Indeed, he feels happiness everywhere. So, this is why throughout, you know, the Bhagavatam and throughout the Bhagavad Gita, this quality of being satisfied with one's position in devotional service is very important. So I'll stop there. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Sura Prabhu. You should be satisfied with the class.
Well, let's say you've noticed that I'm a playa. I'm not free from material desires. I'm not Nivritta Trishna. And I read your books. I eat your food, Mahaprasadam. But I still am in the material world and having a good time. I even read in your books that it says a kama sarva kama va, that whether one is Nivritta Trishna or sarva kama, full of lust, you don't turn them away. Krishna doesn't turn them away. So what is my fate being a sarva kami and at the same time trying to cultivate your philosophy of Hare Krishna?
So, of course, in the books, there are lots of different things said. Of course, those aren't my books. Those are Krishna's books. But there's a lot of different things. Things are presented from different points of view. And the verses today were stressing one point of view. So in my imperfect and incomplete remarks, I was also stressing that one point of view. But in Shastra, Krishna understands, you know, he says he understands that people come to Krishna consciousness with some material desires. So Krishna provides ways to satisfy those desires according to certain rules and regulations. It says, however, one who is driven, in today's verse it says, it talks about person who is driven by the tongue and the genitals. So that includes all of us, really. But we can satisfy our tongue by taking prasadam. If there's some need to satisfy the genitals, it can be done in a regulated way in Krishna conscious marriage, which involves different responsibilities. But one shouldn't think that that regulated sense gratification is the ultimate goal. the ultimate goal is yasya prasada, bhagavat prasada, pleasing Krishna and pleasing Krishna's representative. And that way, one becomes really satisfied. And even on the road of devotional service, one can become attacked by these things. That is a definite fact. But in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna is telling Uddhava, so even my devotee becomes, in the less advanced stage, attacked by these things. It's not that it's all over for the devotee. And in his commentary on that verse, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says it's kind of like when you're in a battle, you may get attacked and you may get wounded by an arrow or something, but you don't give up the fight. You go on to win the fight. So even though you may be wounded in the battle, you may continue to fight and ultimately win the battle. So probably a lot of us have different wounds in the battle with Maya. Or another example he gives, like a person is trying to be healthy but may become diseased. But then you take suitable treatment and you cure yourself with the attack of the disease, whatever it happens to be. So in our progress on the path of devotional service, it's not that these things are going to immediately disappear, but if we have the intelligence to stay on the path, then gradually we'll make advancement and come to that perfect stage. Archita Prabhu.
I just said thank you for a nice
started
class.
To surrender.
Including how Krishna tricked you into going to Washington, D.C. Back to Sura's question, more directly, I think in relation to our process, which is chanting Hare Krishna. We're known as the Hare Krishna movement. Shukadeva Goswami answered that in the first canto. He said, Etan nirbhijamananam ichchatam akatobayam yoginam nirpanirnitam harinam anikirtana. So whichever category you fall in, whether you're already surrendered or you're a yogi or you're ichchatam, you're full of desire, chant Hare Krishna. That's the formula for everyone. We don't say when we go out, first of all, you clean up your act and then you start chanting. No. Wherever you are, you could be the biggest debauchee, chant Hare Krishna. You could already be, 8 Mystic City. Whatever you are, chant Hare Krishna. That's the process for the age, and it will help you. It will help you. Yes, you're full of desires, but you come to the temple, you hang out with us, you chant Hare Krishna. We don't put any bar. You just come and chant. That's the process. So that was the point that Shukadeva was making. That whatever camp you're in, whether it's a kama, sarva kama, or ichchatam, whatever, chant Hare Krishna. And if you take that seriously and you stay in contact with Krishna, Krishna will do the work. He will purify you. He'll purify you. And that's why we advise everybody chant. Sometimes people criticize, like Sura goes to yoga studios, and we know that the ratio of people who come from those yoga studios to become serious practitioners is a very small ratio. But we don't stop, because even if only one of them becomes a pure devotee, we were successful. That's the point. Just like Prabhupada said in his Bhagavad Gita, if one person becomes a pure devotee, my entire endeavor was successful.
Urmila, Madhuji.
You, several times you said we should be satisfied with that which comes easily. Can you please define easily?
The Sanskrit word is yadrichchaya, which comes by providence, or which comes naturally, or without over-endeavor. It's one of the principles of devotional service. One shouldn't, that's given by Rupa Goswami and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, one shouldn't over-endeavor for certain things. I guess for each individual it may be different. You know, I just know, you know, in my particular line of devotional service, I, you know, involved in, you know, science preaching, and, you know, there's some, you know, books that I've written, and, you know, from them there's a little income, and it's a, and I'm satisfied with it. Whatever, you know, I don't obsess about getting more. You know, I'm happy with what Krishna has given me to carry out my service. So, you know, I'm satisfied with it. That's how I kind of define it myself, that I don't obsess about getting more than what Krishna has provided me without over-endeavoring.
Okay, but like yesterday, the verse was about the python who makes no endeavor. Everything just comes to the python. And Prabhupada gave the example of Madhavendra Puri, who didn't even beg. But then you have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who as a sannyasi was begging. So how does an individual person determine what's the criteria, what's the symptoms by which an individual person can determine what for them is just accepting what comes naturally and what is proper endeavor and what is over endeavor? What are the symptoms for a person?
Right offhand, I can't say. Do you have any idea?
Of course,
well,
I
might have to think about it for quite some time, and we're almost out of time. So it's time for the class to end. So if you want to provide any clue or insight, and that, then we'll stop.
In our line, we say, if whatever does not interfere with your sadhana. In other words, if you're working so hard to so-called provide a living for yourself, your family, whatever, that you don't have time to chant 16 rounds, follow the principles, come to the programs, then that's over-endeavor. But if you can do that, if you do your sadhana nicely, and then whatever you do beyond that to make a living, that's okay. That's allowed. We have varna and ashram. If you're a grihasta, you're supposed to make some income. The entire Varanashram is supposed to be supported by the income of the grihasthas. So to become a grihastha and then say, well, you know, I don't want to do anything, that's artificial. Then don't become a grihastha. Remain a brahmachari or a brahmacharini. So, if, you know, everybody has responsibility. And if that responsibility does not interfere with your sadhana, your practice of Krishna consciousness, then it's okay. If it starts to interfere, then it's over-endeavor.
Okay. And probably if you're feeling peaceful, that's good. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.